We could spend all day saying thank you to those who support WSHU with financial contributions. I'm WSHU reporter Ebon Udama. And one way I say thank you is by covering Connecticut political news to help you stay connected and informed. Your financial support is the lifeblood of the WSHU newsroom. Thank you for making this trusted resource available to our community. We're expanding our world together.
Local Connecticut maritime and coastal organizations, as well as nonprofits, have been finding out about the state's new Blue Economy Coalition. It was formed last year, and it's starting to provide resources and workshops to help bring together industries to think about how they can be part of what's called the Blue Economy. R.T. Brown is the chair of the coalition.
We are a networking and convening coalition of partners, and we bring stakeholders together to determine strategies for supporting the growth and the stability of the blue economy here in Connecticut, like marine living systems, so aquaculture, fishing, coastal resilience, marine trades, and ocean exploration or technologies.
More details can be found at ctblueeconomy.org. This is WSHU's After All Things with daily news and culture from around Long Island Sound. Lawmakers from our region react to the U.S.-Israeli strikes on Iran. Enrollment is growing at SUNY schools, but university officials say they still need state help. Some towns are out of money for winter cleanup after all the snow we've been getting. Plus, an effort in Connecticut to clear homeless encampments draws some criticism. Those stories and more are ahead. I'm Sabrina Garone. U.S. Senator Richard Blumenthal of Connecticut says he's concerned that the country could be headed toward what he calls a forever war in Iran. WSHU's Molly Ingram reports.
Blumenthal says he's opposed to American troops on the ground in Iran, which President Trump says he won't rule out. He called the weekend strikes a, quote, war of choice that likely wouldn't lead to regime change, which is what Trump says he wants.
Aerial bombardment alone will be futile in changing the regime unless it is accompanied by other action. And that is what gives me the most fear, the risk of another forever war involving American boots on the ground, which I would oppose.
Both the House and the Senate are expected to vote on a war powers resolution this week, which would limit Trump's power in the region. But it faces an uphill battle in both chambers, and Democrats don't have enough votes to overrule a veto. Molly Ingram, WSHU News.
And two Republican U.S. representatives from Long Island issued statements in support. Congressman Nick LaLota called the strikes necessary to defend American lives. Congressman Andrew Garbarino is chairman of the Committee on Homeland Security and says Iran is the world's top state sponsor of terrorism. The chancellor of the State University of New York system says enrollment is growing and its financial picture is stabilizing, but the New York Public News Network's Samuel King reports SUNY is still seeking more investment from the state.
Chancellor John King told lawmakers at a recent budget hearing that the state university system has a critical maintenance backlog of $10 billion. King says he's grateful for an increase in a governor's budget, but the SUNY Board of Trustees is seeking more than $1 billion in maintenance and research capital spending.
$600 million for critical maintenance, $400 million for emergency avoidance. Again, these are not glamorous projects, but they are crucial. Pipes, fixing a roof.
SUNY faculty, staff, and students also lobbied lawmakers for more investments. The governor's budget proposal continues an in-state tuition freeze at SUNY campuses and expands the free community college program for adults to more sectors. In Albany, I'm Samuel King for the New York Public News Network.
Winter doesn't officially end for another 3 weeks, but some municipalities in Connecticut and on Long Island have already blown through their winter weather budgets. WSHU's Desiree DiOrio has more.
Snow and ice don't come cheap. There's costs for rock salt, road brine, snow removal, and the labor hours necessary to make the roads safe for drivers. Before last weekend's blizzard, New Haven Mayor Justin Elliker said the city had already overshot its $665,000 snow budget by $30,000. And on Long Island, Brookhaven Town spent over $5 million on snow removal by early February. That's $2 million over budget. Some municipalities have offset those costs by getting approval for emergency spending from their town boards or by dipping into reserve funds. Desiree DiOrio, WSHU News.
A proposal in Connecticut would allocate money to the State Transportation Department to clear homeless encampments. That story is coming up.
WSHU works because listeners decide it matters. And right now, what you do next really matters. We're cutting our winter drive in half so you can hear more programs with fewer fundraising interruptions. The only way we can shorten the drive is if you act right now. Make a donation and your gift will be matched dollar for dollar. You can give generously right now at WSHU.org or you can call 800-777-9748 to support the news you trust.
A dozen members of a Darien, Connecticut Episcopal Church were among those who took shelter when Iran retaliated against Israel over the weekend. The group was on a pilgrimage to the Holy Land to mark the Christian season of Lent. Episcopal Bishop Jeffrey Mello says they've since crossed the border into Jordan and will soon be on their way home. Six Long Island towns have now approved measures to give property tax exemptions to widows of police officers killed in the line of duty. Brookhaven, Huntington, and Islip all passed measures last week. Oyster Bay and Nassau County are both considering the move. The city of Bridgeport has dropped one of two investigations against Police Chief Roderick Porter. This one came from a group of white police officers who accused Porter, who's black, of racial discrimination. The head of Bridgeport's police union accused the city of a cover-up. Oyster Bay is looking for volunteers to plant dune grass at the town's annual Dune Day on March 28th. Dune grass is a natural shield against storm surges and erosion. Organizers say the annual planting is also a good chance for kids to learn about conservation. Connecticut is on the verge of changing how schools handle lockdown drills, especially those meant to simulate mass shootings. Earl Bloodworth is the director of Connecticut Against Gun Violence, and he says right now there's no statewide policy on how to handle a lockdown drill. He says that leaves some students vulnerable to a traumatic experience.
I've talked to parents who kids come home crying or don't want to go to school the next day after a drill has been done because they're terrified. And I think this process with the standardization will help in alleviating some of that and have the ability to have access to mental health care and social workers as well.
The bill would ban active shooter simulations with what it calls highly sensorial elements, like the sound of gunfire or fake blood. It would also set up a standardized statewide process for the drills. It's currently on Governor Lamont's desk for signing. Governor Kathy Hochul says the federal government owes New Yorkers more than $13 billion for what she calls President Trump's illegal tariffs. WSHU's Desiree DiOrio explains.
The U.S. Supreme Court ruled against the Trump administration's tariff policies last month, and now Hochul's looking to collect. She met with business owners and farmers this week who told her the tariffs have hurt industries from winemaking to tourism.
Tourism is bread and butter industry for New York, from the tips of Long Island to the North Country to Western New York. I don't know a single part of our state that's not been affected.
Yale University's budget lab says the average New York household paid more than $1,700 due to tariff costs paid by importers and passed on to consumers. Desiree DiOrio, WSHU News.
The state of Connecticut wants to allocate money to clear homeless encampments. WSHU's Davis Donovan reports lawmakers are considering a measure that would set aside money for the State Department of Transportation.
The State Department of Transportation cleared more than two dozen encampments last year. They didn't say how many people they displaced, but they spent nearly $500,000 to clear the encampments and put up barriers to keep people from coming back. Garrett Ucolito is the commissioner of the State Department of Transportation. He told state lawmakers on the Transportation Committee they want to do even more.
Without additional staffing and resources, we're not in a position to expand efforts. And generally, we do not seek to clear encampments unless there's a specific request that comes in from a municipality or from a legislator.
Advocates for the homeless say that money could be used to help people find housing. Nearly 1,000 people across the state are living on the streets, and advocates say those numbers are going up more every year. Davis Donovan, WSHU News.
for the news you trust and music you love. Listen to us on the radio, online at WSHU.org, or download the free WSHU app. And for even more from this station, join us over on Instagram. We'd love to connect with you there. You can find us at WSHU Public Radio. I'm Sabrina Garone. Have a great rest of your day, and we'll talk tomorrow.